Okay, as you collect the offering. Okay, thank you guys for here. Hello. Are you here? Okay. Thank you guys for leading a time of worship. Appreciate all that was shared. And I hope that you enjoyed that video. It was something that I saw last year, and I was personally moved by what he had to say. And sometimes when we go through challenges like this, we may not experience the kind of difficulties that Scott Hamilton went through. I mean, I know him because he was one of those stars on ice during those era, and to hear of him sharing about his faith and overcoming these difficulties was really something. And being able to know that what you went through from young had a purpose. You know, in life we will go through all kinds of anxieties, but if we learn what it means to have the kind of faith to believe, to pray, to ask God for His peace and strength, the God of peace will be there for us each step of the way. Okay, I'd just like to let you know, we will try and end slightly earlier today if possible. But what we're going to do is two things. One, we are going to sing a Chinese song. All of you are welcome to sing. If you feel that you are, you know, able to sing Chinese, I think you are. If I can sing it, you can sing it. I don't think you have a problem. So if you like to, you are welcome to join us. We will practice afterwards. It's a nice, catchy song, pretty simple to sing to you. And after that, we're just going to take a few pictures. We are taking some pictures for the website, so we are just going to post a little bit. Actually, the main focus will be on two people only, but you will be the background. Okay, so don't worry, no need to put makeup or whatever. Yeah, so it's a bit more focused kind of approach. All right, so just to let you know. Okay, good. Now today we're going to bring the book of Philippians to an end. Next Saturday we are going to begin on the book of Hebrews, right? And the reason is because we are really going into spiritual maturity, and what better book to study than the book of Hebrews, right? Because it is about spiritual maturity. So that's what we are going to work towards. And so today we're going to finish up chapter 4, and I hope that this book has been a blessing to you. It has been for me as I studied it, as I taught it. There are many wonderful verses that have become life verses for myself and for me to be encouraged by and to live by. And I hope that last week's study of the God of peace is something for us to really look to so much more. We recognize that going through anxieties is not easy. There are times when the problems of life can cause us to fall apart. And that's what the word anxiety means. But the word peace tells us how we can keep things together. That's what it means. When we learn to keep things together and not fall apart, there's a sense of completeness in our whole makeup. And things are not falling apart. We have peace of heart, mind, spirit. And it is the peace that God gives to us that we can move on and strive so much more to grow, that we may be able to have the God of peace through us, with us each step of the way. Okay, now today we're going to go into this last part, and there are two aspects to this last part. One aspect has to do with how the Philippian church sought to minister to Paul, and as we have sought to try and minister to others, as we challenge ourselves to be sons of encouragement, as we challenge ourselves to give towards our brethren over in Myanmar, there are a number of lessons that we can learn. So how the church sought to minister to Paul. But nevertheless, we also see Paul's example, how he learned to live the kind of life that he had to be faced with, circumstances that he would have to struggle with. And I think there are a number of lessons for us to also learn as a result. Let's first of all deal with the first part. In verse 10, Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly." I mean, joy is something that we all can find in life, but the best kind of joy is really found in the Lord. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." So Paul was trying to tell them, you know, I'm really glad to see how you are seeking to give. And I'm glad, personally, when I see how you, as a young adults group, seek to support the work in Myanmar, in other areas, you know, my own heart is gladdened that we are able to rise up to the challenge. You know, so Pastor went for his first trip over to Myanmar, and this time round, once again, we gave another 6,000, and that 6,000 went towards funding groups of students and teachers. They will go out. So what they had this week was the graduation. So we are glad more of our students have graduated, and those who are graduating and graduated, they will go back to their churches or their areas of ministry, or they are sent out as missionaries. But during the summer program, the students and the teachers, they are also sent out, and they will go to different states in Myanmar, and they will go to different churches, and they will conduct gospel outreach. We are glad for that. So we fund their transport, we fund their accommodation, the food, and whatever else that is needed, and we send out groups. And you know, to me, it's such a joy to know that we are part of the outreach over in Myanmar. And one of the things that Pastor told me just today, he was telling me that these groups are actually doing a bit of publicity also. Because BTS, Yangon, you know, you don't have advertisement put out in the newspaper or things like that. So when they go out and they tell the villagers, they tell the people, they reach out, they tell of what we are doing as a seminary. And, you know, it's telling me that as they reached out, there were people that were won to the Lord. And in fact, a couple of years later, some of them actually decided to become full-time workers. And they actually came to BTS to serve. So we see how this ministry can impact lives. And we're glad that we can be involved in this. And we continue to support this work for the Lord. And you know, for Paul, he saw how the Philippian church gave, and their gift began to flourish. And that's what we must seek to do. Okay? So, this was something that Paul rejoiced in. Okay? Now, he also went on to talk about himself, right? Because they gave towards him. And then verse 11, it says, "Now that I speak in regard to need, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now, I want to take a bit of time to explain this idea of contentment. How do you understand contentment? I mean, Singaporeans, you know, nowadays we feel that being contented is a rarity. Not many people are contented. Everybody is complaining, everybody is upset, okay? But Paul began to recall lessons, how he sought to learn to be contented. Let's try and understand this word, contentment. Are you a person who is contented? Okay? And sometimes at workplace, it's very hard to be contented, to be happy. You know, there was a survey that was done, and they said that the presence of happy people appears to raise suicide risk. Countries and US states with higher happiness levels tend to have higher suicide rates. says a team of researchers. Right? For example, Utah is ranked number one in life satisfaction, but have the ninth highest suicide rate. Okay, whereas New York, ranked 45th in satisfaction, has the lowest suicide rate in the United States. So is that interesting? Because when you see somebody happy and you're not, kind of idea. But you see somebody, oh, you know, I'm sad, you also sad, okay lah, we all sad together. You know, kind of idea. And we all tend to compare. So let me ask you, is contentment a result of circumstances or your environment? What is contentment? How would you define contentment? So Sam, he was a SEA Games medalist. I didn't know you were such a sharpshooter. What kind of gun do you shoot? Air rifle. Okay. Yeah, those toy on it. Very good. Yeah. I mean, what is contentment? I mean, you've been through, you've seen a lot, you've been overseas, you got a SEA Games gold medal. So do I. And it's gold medal. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just kidding. Don't worry. Yeah. How would you define contentment? How would you understand contentment? My question to you, first of all, is contentment dependent on your circumstances? I mean, what's the general view? What would be the general view? It would be, right? Yeah, go ahead.
It wouldn't be lasting.
Wouldn't be lasting. Meaning what? Yeah, correct. But often than not, it is, right? We tend to be contented because this is something that we have achieved, we are happy, and we are contented. So it becomes a result of what we have to more often than not achieve. Right? What is contentment? Jim, what is contentment to you? Okay. How would you be happy then? When that's good food. Yeah, so Paul says, when I'm full, right? Yeah, he says here, right? Yeah. And I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full. Right? So you have good food. You have a baby in your womb. So you're really full. You're getting fuller and fuller. Yeah. So what if you don't find good food? Wow, unhappy. Right, we all are like that, right? You go to a restaurant, you expect good food. And somehow if you don't get those good food, this fellow is terrible, you complain to the waiter, what kind of food is this? And we all complain and complain. You see, that's the problem. The opposite of contentment is what? Huh? What? Discontentment, hello? Give me a better word. Yeah, complaining, right? We always like to complain. Huh? Opposite of complaining is discomplaining. Right. Well, we know ourselves. I understand. We are the ugly Singaporean. You know, anything we don't like, we will complain. And it's just somehow we all are, victim of circumstances in that sense. We go with what it is that is around us. We demand this. We expect this. And, that's the reality. And we find that it's not easy to be contented. True? Okay, go ahead. Anybody? How do you feel? I mean, contentment. Are you a contented person? You know, they were saying that sometimes when you look at your pay and you look at it, how come so little? Right? And you're not contented. You know, there was a survey done, and the survey was, would you feel that 30,000 a year, you will be happy with it. And then they say, you know what? The person next to you is getting 30,000. Everybody else is getting 30,000. Would you feel you are happy with it? And the person say, yes. Because everybody else is getting 30,000. Then he creates another scenario. And he says that, okay, that same person. But what if your friend gets 40,000? Would you then with 30,000 feel that you're okay? They say no. The person who's getting 40,000, how come I don't get 40,000? It's the perception that you as one deserves more than what you're getting. Again, we see how the circumstances actually affects who you are, how you respond to things in life. Huh? Every time you sit there and then you make your order and you're waiting there, and then the person who comes later and the person orders the food and he gets the food first, and then you say, why like that? Huh? How come I order first, you get first, and I never, why am I still waiting? Right? It's always like that when you look at the circumstances. But if there was nobody else in the restaurant and you know you have to wait, but you know, okay lah, I'm not too bad, I'm still waiting, you know, you don't mind waiting a little bit more, whatever. But then you'll be wondering, how come nobody is at the restaurant? Contentment. How would you understand contentment? Now let me state this very clearly, that contentment or true contentment is not based upon circumstances. It cannot be based upon circumstances. So that contentment is actually found within. It is not from external factors. Let me define for you this word contentment. It is this word, okay? Okay, autarkes. Now, this word is made up of two words. Okay, let me try and define for you. The first word is autos. What is autos? Sam, what is autos? His, her, the idea here is self. Right? And then the other word is arcane. Okay? And the word arcane, okay, where you get the word arc. This is my way of remembering this word. Okay? And in the ark, there is all that you need, sufficient. Right? That's how you remember the word, Greek word, arcane. In the ark, everything is sufficient. So what you get when you combine these two words is self-sufficiency. I like that. Contentment is self-sufficiency. Now, that sufficiency is not of yourself in that sense. That sufficiency is really in Christ. But you find that in Christ, you are sufficient. There is self-sufficiency. There is satisfaction. There is contentment. It is not dependent on your circumstances. That to me is something for us to think about. Especially we as Singaporeans, where we find it so hard to be contented with what we have. Can we learn what it means to have this idea of self-sufficiency? To be satisfied. To be satisfied in the state that we are in. It is not dependent on your circumstances. You know, so whether we get a promotion or not, whether we are able to get a medal or not, whether we are able to get a job or not, whatever state we are in, no matter where we are in, whatever phase of life we are in, no matter what we are going through, we learn to find self-sufficiency, contentment in Christ. Okay, any questions concerning this? I mean, if you were asked yourself, how come we don't find that kind of contentment? Look at this, and it's very interesting how he actually writes this. He says, whatever state I am, okay, to be content. Whatever state I am, that's your ego, right? Your Amy, I am, right? And then he uses, so whatever state I am, or whatever circumstances that I am, which I am, okay? And he says, to be. Again, that is the use of your Amy. To be, and this is your infinitive, meaning there is a sense of purpose. What if one of the purpose of life is really to be contented? In whatever state that we are in, it is to be sufficient. Again, let me emphasize, it's not about yourself when I say self-sufficiency. That self-sufficiency is found in Christ. And you are in a state of contentment. Maybe that is something that we should look for in life. Not for all these things that we all tend to look for, or the world tends to look for, or society tends to look for. And then we say, oh, this is what it means for me to finally be satisfied and to be contented. Can we not learn? So, and Paul raises up all these different scenarios from himself. He says, I know how to be abased. There are times that he had to go through humble existence, where, you know, maybe he didn't have as much, he had little, he struggled, there were difficulties. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. So there are times when he had a more. Same word. You know, the idea of how our love should abound more and more. Same word that's being used here. Everywhere in all things I have learned. Contentment is something that is learned. You learned. I have learned. And Paul is really speaking of his testimony. I have learned. This is something that I've been through, something that I've learned, and I've learned to be full, right? Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Wow. That is such a wonderful philosophy of life. There are times when we will have to struggle with less. You know what? We learn. There are times when things are a little bit more. You know what? Learn to abound. There are times when we will suffer hunger. It's okay. The Lord Jesus learned. He said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. His focus was doing the Lord's work. And sometimes we have forgo meals because our focus is on the Lord's work. I learned to be hungry. I learned at the same time to say it is okay to suffer me. The question is, would you be able to say, whatever state you are in, however good or bad, that you say it's okay? It's alright. Because my sufficiency, my contentment is enough. Quick, go ahead and raise question now. The more you raise question, the better it is. Yep. Okay, good. I appreciate your question. You're right. What about ambition? Now, it doesn't say that we shouldn't have ambition. In fact, in the previous chapter, it says that we should have an upward call, that we should move forward all the time. Of course, this is in regards to faith, right? But nonetheless, we should have ambition, meaning let's learn what it means to look at having excellence? Can we not seek to be excellent in all that we seek to do, ultimately for the glory of the Lord?
Sure.
So I think it's important for us to strive to do well for the Lord, to honor Him, and so on and so forth. But in that striving, whatever it is that we would come to, maybe this is our best, maybe we would have failure along the way, maybe we will have struggles along the way, maybe there are times when we recognize that maybe this is not for me. So whatever state that you find yourself in, please learn contentment. Can you see how you need to, as you say, balance things up? It doesn't mean that we don't strive for higher. No, we want to honor the Lord. Right? The Lord tells us, please be the head, not the tail. Learn what it means to be the head. Learn what it means to rise up. Learn what it means to be the best if you can. Right? But in striving, you recognize that maybe, you know what, when I was young, I wanted to be a lawyer. Hey, is it? No, I wanted, what did I want to be first? I wanted to be, a very long time ago, I can't remember. Anyway, I wanted to be something, lah, you know. So I wanted to be, engineer or something. Okay, I wanted to be an engineer. Then I didn't get into the technical stream. That time they got technical. Technical means not vocational technical, is, you know, technical stream. I didn't get in. Okay, so I got into the art stream. Art stream, I thought, okay, maybe be a lawyer or something, right? But of course, I wasn't very good in my studies. So in the end, you know, things change, right? Partly my own doing, partly my own fault, partly my own sin, partly my own, you know. In the end, you know what really got me going was really the subject of economics. And then I realized that I really enjoy economics. I studied economics in university, and I went on to be working in a bank. Right? Now, along the way, you see different things change. I mean, life changes, circumstances, different phases, different things. But, you know, no matter where you are, can we not find contentment? When I was in Perth, well, I needed to be very careful with how I use my funds and things like that. So I, you know, was really very, very conscious of that. So I eat less, I do less, whatever it is. But at the same time, when I finally got my job, you know, I have more, I can do more things, I can eat more, I can, you know, like Jim, you know, who is eating lots more now because of the baby, and I can learn to. So, you see, in whatever state we are in, whether we are abased or whether we are bound, we learn contentment. If you have a good job, well, thank God. If you don't have as good a job, you know what? Also learn contentment. Don't go and wish your boss, you know, bad things and everything. Anyway, I came across this very interesting thing. Okay? They say that flattering the boss can set him up for a fall. There was a survey done, okay, that one standard deviation increase in amount of flattery and, you know, agreement that the CEOs receive raises their likelihood of being fired by 64%. Okay? Flattery inflates leaders' opinion of their abilities, prevents them from making changes in the face of poor corporate performances. And over a 12-month period, colleagues and close subordinates admitted that having an average of 3.64 statements to the CEOs complimenting them in the ways that slightly exaggerated the leader's insight on strategic issues and so on and so forth. So, you want to get rid of your boss? Flatter them. No, please don't. Huh? But, I mean, that's just a survey. But can you learn contentment? I mean, yes, we may be striving for something, we may be looking at different jobs or different opportunities, changes and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, applying wisdom, applying guidance, the Lord's leading, and so on and so forth. But yet, in whatever state we are in, no matter what phase of life, can we learn to be contented? Yep. No. You mean as a Christian, self-inflicted what? Of course. Since when we are not supposed to enjoy life? I mean, look, please don't go and, you know, as you say, self-inflict pain and take the whip and whip. No, we're not supposed to do that. That we also must suffer. Yeah, we will suffer. I mean, when people, you know, say bad things against us for our, persecution. There are times when we will have hardship. There are times when we will struggle along in terms of, you know, different aspects of life, sure. But it doesn't mean that we cannot be happy. It doesn't mean that we cannot have joy. It doesn't mean that we cannot have contentment in life. We look at life and we say, you know what? This is what life is meant to be. That we have joy. So when people tend to think, you know, you, how come you have this, how come... I don't think so. Can we be a wealthy Christian? Yeah, why not? I mean, Barnabas was a wealthy person. He had so much. You know what? He was willing to give. That's why, you know, we are learning what it means to give. So, people's perception, we should never allow people's perception to determine what we should be. What we should be is guided by the Lord and His Word and principles of, you know, the foundations of our very faith. So no matter what people say, no matter what circumstances we are in, this is who we are. We find contentment in life. This is how we want to live out. Now, of course, you must understand, this is in the context of what Paul has really said about himself. He is one who seeks to live for Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whatever, whether in death or life, I will seek to magnify Him. So there are times, okay, then, you know, at the same time, where was Paul when he's writing this? He's in prison. He is suffering. He is in prison for his faith. But yet, he can say, you know what? Thank you very much for your help, your, you know, support. But I must tell you, it's not about, I'm just talking about my needs. I'm telling you that I'm contented. That we all can learn to be contented. I learned to be a base, you know, now I'm in prison, I have prison food, not very good. But I learned. I learned contentment. I thank God for the food still. So there are times when we go out and we have, you know, the meal doesn't turn out as well. And what was the last meal that we had that wasn't too good? What was that? I don't remember. It's not she cooked for me or anything like that. So I can't remember where we went, and the food wasn't as good. We had high expectations, and then suddenly didn't turn out as well. But you know what? We are still thankful. This week, you know, Chinese New Year, we went out with some friends so that, you know, just to go see the Chinese New Year, Chinese Chinatown place, and you know, we had porridge. One of our yearly pilgrimage is to go to Chinatown and eat frog porridge. And you know, see the frogs jumping, and not really, but the frog porridge is really good, and we are full. You know, that's fine. We enjoy. But even if things don't turn out, can we say, you know what, it's still okay? Rather than to complain until the cows come home, and you know, previously I had somebody talk to me and say, you know, we cannot go out with my father, because every time we go out with my father, he will pick a fight with. From the waiter to the person next to him, and he will just fight with everybody. And they, you know, we cannot go out. To me, that's unfortunate. Why? Why do we need to feel this way? Can we not seek to be contented? Okay, any other questions? Eat God cockroach. Oh, yeah, of course, that one, of course. No, it doesn't mean, now, it doesn't mean that we cannot, if there's something wrong with a certain situation, huh? Yeah. I mean, if, look, we also recognize what is reasonable. I mean, if there's a rat in your soup, you know, and you don't just go, rats, you know, you must better tell the person, please tell the person, just rats, you know. You know, please, by all means, you need to give feedback, please ensure. But, you know, you know what I mean, right? It's important for us to recognize that if there's a necessity to be able to say, okay, you know, there's something wrong here, please, by all means. Okay? Now, I recognize that we can just talk about it and we can, you know, bring out scenarios. End of the day, we recognize it's not easy. When you're there in that situation, when you're struggling, when you're like Paul in prison, and still being able to thank God, still being able to say, you know what, I'm okay, I'm contented. You know, I recognize it's not easy. And that's why we come to this verse, which I think is very important. And it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the context of this verse, okay? A lot of times people like to apply this verse, left, right, center means all things. Right? I mean to a certain extent, but it has to be in context to all that Paul has stated. Can I learn to abound and to be abased? Yes, I can find the strength to do it. There are times when we go to India, you know what? We have to travel, we have to go to Trichy, we go to different places, and you know, there's food is something that we only can eat later. You know what? It's okay. We can grow hungry, but it's alright. Even in Myanmar, I remember we went over to Tahan. Tahan is the capital of the Chin state. You go there in Tahan, okay? And, you know, and the hotel name is Tong Jalat, you know? So, how else would you need to be reminded of the challenges that you will face? But you know what? You learn. You learn what it means to find that strength. Now, let me try and explain this verse for you, and we'll try and end after that. Okay. It says here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, very interesting verse. It says here, okay, it's cool. This is the word, it's cool. And this word is cool basically means I am strong. I am strong enough, actually. This is the idea here. That means it's not just about, okay, I have strength. No. It's something that is already, I have strength enough to engage in whatever circumstances or resistance that I will have to encounter. So, the idea here is I am able. I am. That's what it means. You are strong. You are able. You can. Now, I was just trying to look at some of the other verses that uses this word. And it's a very interesting thing that I found out is that most of the other references that uses this word is in the context of someone that cannot. Like, for instance, when the disciples, they could not watch with the Lord Jesus. Same word that is being used. Or when the disciples could not cast out the demon. Same word is used. But in a negative way, with the negative word used. Right? But in this instance, it says that I can. I am able. You are able. You will have the strength to be able. That's what it means here. You have it. It is in you. You can. Yes, we can. Right? You can. Okay? You are able. Whether it is in being a base, whether it is being hungry, whether you have a job, whether you don't have a job, whether you have a good job, whether you have a bad job, you are strong enough. That's this word is cool. You are able to. And you are strong to face all things. Whatever things. No matter what it may be. I can do all things. Okay? Through Christ who strengthens me. Now, in the Greek, the word that is used is en. What is en? In. So what he's trying to say here is, as much as it is through Christ, it is first of all in Christ. We must be in Christ. That's why this self-sufficiency idea has to be in Christ. You abide in Christ. It is being in Christ, and because you are in Christ, that through Christ, you will be able to. You will be able to find that strength. You will have enough strength. You can. I can. That's what it means. No matter what state you are in, you can. And you will be strengthened. You will be in the dynamic power of God, and you will be able to. I am strong. So you may be having a challenging week, you may be having a challenging time at work, you may be a challenging time at you know, whatever circumstances you may find. But you are able to. You are strong enough. Whatever state you are in, I can. I like this verse. I mean, I've depended on this verse from young until now, and I continue to depend on this verse. I can. I can wake up at 5 a.m. every day and do and spend my time with the Lord and plan for the day and carry on with the day. I can. I have. I can. And I will. Okay? Alright, any questions? Yep. Okay. Mine has the word Christ. It's a different text. So for a NU text, okay? Oh, good. Somebody brought his her Greek text. In a NU text, there is no Christ. Okay? My text, which is... Okay, let me just explain. You have the NU text. Greek text, there are actually different kinds of texts. Okay? So, like, different Bible, you have different Bible versions. In the Greek text, there are also different kinds of version. Okay? And sometimes this version is better... Sometimes this version is better. Now, I must say that consistently, for us, as the we use the New King James Bible. The New King James Bible is translated from the majority text. Okay? And that's why it states, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the NU text, Christ is missing. So the empty text will be a better text in this instance. Can you see this? Okay, it doesn't mean that we have problems with the text, no. It's just that each text will have its strengths. Okay? And, yeah, I expected this question. Alright? So there's nothing wrong with that, in a sense. It doesn't mean that your Bible or something is missing. Christ is missing. Oh no! Christ is missing! Yeah! No, it's not, okay? He's there! He's there! He's there! Don't worry! Thank God Christ is with us. Okay, any other questions besides the Greek? Yeah. Yeah, sure, go ahead, no worries. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, okay, I understand that. Sure. No, so your driving for ambition should not be because of discontentment. You're right. Sometimes you are not happy with the circumstances you're in. You look at somebody else, hey, this guy doing better, I better do better than him. You know, it's, you're right. You always tend to compare. You always compete. Yeah. No? If we say that I want to better myself, is if you see, at the end of the day, what is your expectation of yourself? Right? If you turn back to chapter 1, okay, and that according to my verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by this or in death. Now let me raise this and apply it in the context of ourselves. What is your expectation of yourself? What is God's expectation of yourself? Should not it be the very best that we can do for the Lord? Not so much as discontentment. If we can say that, you know what, let me learn. I mean, if you can do better and you are just saying, you know what, okay lah, I'm just happy where I am, I want to be contented and everything else, then, I mean, you can take that approach. But yet at the same time, you're not fulfilling all that God has blessed you with. Maybe God has given you the ability to rise up. Then please, by all means, rise up. You know, you see what I'm trying to say? So I think there's nothing wrong with a good expectation of yourself. What do you think at the same time, what God expects of you? And being able to ultimately, you know what, can we not seek to give God greater glory as we, if we can rise up to be a leader, why not? That's why I say, rather to be the head than the tail. That was something that pastors talk about at the family camp, right? Should we not rise up and seek to do the Lord's work? You know, rise up to do the best that we can. So there's nothing wrong with ambition. But if it's a personal ambition that you are striving for self-glory, for, you know, I want to, you know, you're competing with somebody and all these negative, you know, wrong reasons, then that I would have a problem. But if it is something that God has laid with it because this is something that I can do better, then that's fine. But end of the day, it's still your choice, Jeff. Whoever it is, whatever you seek to do for your life, I always tell this. We can advise, we can encourage, we can give you wisdom, but this is your life. You choose what you want. And my point is, you honor the Lord in whatever choices you make. But in whatever state that you are in, you be contented. I mean, if you rise up and you're the best that you can do, you can only do number two. You cannot do number one. Right? You get a bronze medal instead of a gold medal. That's fine. That's fine. Are you contented? See, you're contented. That's okay. You know, it's alright. Why? You don't have to live your whole life, yeah, sure, I got the gold medal and things like that. I mean, honestly also, I tell you very honest, the gold medal that I got is because of the team. Right? I'm the 13th player. That's how I got the gold medal. I hardly played. I carry water for the players. So what? Anyway, what's the gold medal? I also don't know where the gold medal is. Can you see my point? It's okay. But at least you did your best. At least you strive for the best that you can do, that's fine. That's all that the Lord would ask of you. But if you can do more, and you're not seeking to do what you can, then, I mean, that's your choice, but shouldn't we use our talents for the Lord so much more? God has given us a gift. Should we not max that gift for the Lord? You see what I'm trying to say? Okay, any other questions? So no matter what state we are in, whether, you know, one thing or another, and as you recognize, you know, you look at Scott Hamilton, he had so much that he has achieved in his life, glory and so on, and yet life will throw a curveball. You know, you have surprises and difficulties and challenges and so on and so forth. But you know, he learned what it means to have faith, prayer, peace of heart, and yet contentment. It's okay. Alright? And of course the rest of the chapter really has to do with how the Philippian church sought to give towards, how Paul commended them for their gifts and so on. I'd just like to highlight, you know, how it abounded, and you know, they were commended especially. And in verse 19 it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's wonderful. God will supply all our needs. Let's learn to give. Okay? Now just to let you know that we are going to collect a very special Ang Pao offering after Chinese New Year when we come back. And that will go towards the work of missions to our brethren, you know, especially to Myanmar. And I like to say, let's learn what it means to give. And even as we seek to give, we know that God will supply for all our needs. You know, there's one principle that I've learned. I give to the Lord each month. You know, the first check that I give towards the Lord. And it's not because I give so that God will give me more, but that's not my point. I never see it that way. I've never had that kind of perspective, and I never will. But I must say that as you learn to give, God actually gives so much more. And he blesses so much more. God will supply all of our needs. So whatever state, no matter where you are, whichever country you go to, no matter what kind of position you are, no matter what kind of phase that you have in life, learn contentment, self-sufficiency. And you learn what it means to find that strength to cope with the challenges of life. That's something that I've learned for myself, and I continue to rely on these verses for encouragement each and every day. This week I was just reciting this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's proven again and again how the Lord can bless and give us the strength for each and every day. Okay? Alright, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you that we can learn precious lessons from your word. We recognize that in life, we really don't know what kind of challenges as we go through different phases. There are times when we will have to learn to be abased. There are times when we will have to learn at the same time to abound. We learn to do these things because we can learn to find contentment in you. We pray that you will teach us to find that special strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what we will have to face, we can go through them. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us and bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.